This is New England Public Radio News. Late last month, five swastikas were found written in chalk on a building at UMass Amherst. A week before that, Smith College in Northampton discovered swastikas on campus. Visiting Smith professor Loretta Ross has been taking on neo-Nazis for decades, and after the swastika incident, Ross gave her students an unexpected lesson on choosing the right opponents. New England Public Radio's Ben James has the story.
Back in the 1990s, Loretta Ross was working at the Center for Democratic Renewal, a national anti-hate group, when she received a call from a man named Floyd Cochran.
And immediately, without even thinking, I blurted out, "D. Floyd Cochran?" Because we monitored him. He was the national spokesman for the Aryan Nations.
To Ross's surprise, Cochran was seeking help. One of his sons had been born with a cleft palate, and a leader of the Aryan Nations argued that the child should be put to death. In the process of deprogramming Cochran's radical beliefs, Ross and Cochran became friends.
Floyd taught me a lot about the construction of whiteness and white supremacy in a way that I had not shown any sympathy or empathy for heretofore, because I kind of felt like if they wanted to hate me, I was okay hating them. Yeah.
Flash forward a couple decades, and this black feminist leader now teaches a course on white supremacy to a few dozen students, most of them white, at Smith College.
I like teaching young people how to subvert white supremacy without feeling guilty over being white.
On a recent Tuesday, Ross looked to her students for clarification on some disturbing campus events.
Didn't this campus just experience an anti-Semitic incident while I was out of town? What happened?
Swastikas drawn in red Sharpie on the walls of three campus buildings. Students told Ross the story, and almost immediately they described the campus response.
It was really hard to hear some of the knee-jerk reactions of excuses. The idea that it couldn't have been a Smith student.
Other students said the school administration mishandled the racist graffiti.
Smith has such a long history of only responding, like, retroactively and doing nothing proactively.
Ross listened closely for a few minutes until finally she'd heard enough.
I don't want to distract y'all from what is a student human right, which is to bash your university. But
free speech.
Huh? Yes. Yes. But let's be clear. Smith, at worst, is a problematic ally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're supposed to be talking about fascists. And so unless you think the leadership of Smith is fascist, can we stay focused on the fascist?
There's a term Ross uses again and again, threat assessment or target assessment. She says organizers and activists on the left can too easily overstate the harm caused by their potential allies, and that they often fail to accurately assess the risk posed by their true opponents.
So I want to advise students to have better target assessment. Go after the Nazis. Don't go after the people you think that should have better defended you from the Nazis. They may be a problem, but they're not the ones trying to exterminate you.
In a recent New York Times op-ed, and now in a book she's writing, Ross brings the question of target assessment to bear on a broader issue, the way people communicate dissent in what's often referred to as the call-out culture.
The call-out for me is when you choose to offer your judgment of someone else's thoughts, behaviors, or actions, or looks in a way that publicly humiliates and shames them.
Calling power holders to account for their actions is necessary, Ross says.
But most calling out that I criticize is horizontal, is between people of the same power status or the same relative status that seek to prove how woke or how politically correct they are.
Maren Grasky, a student in Ross's course on white supremacy, now questions the ways that she herself has called people out.
I was thinking about the times I have via social media, which has never been fruitful. It has only made me angrier and has, like, usually resulted in being blocked or something and the person not changing their mind.
Ross's advice is to take the grievances off social media, to end the group pylons, meet with those you disagree with one-on-one, and begin the more challenging process of calling in.
Calling in is holding people accountable for things that they do that are problematic, but doing it in a way that is healing versus punishing.
You don't build movements by ruining relationships, Ross says. Her book, Calling in the Call-Out Culture, will be published in 2020. For New England Public Radio, I'm Ben James.